It's another week of college football, and that means another week of the College Try podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price, and I'm very proud to say that this podcast is brought to you by ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Alrighty, college football playoff rankings came out. It's the second installment of the rankings. I was okay with the first rankings. Didn't have my mind blown in really any way. I know the biggest shift in the top 13, it was the only shift in the top 13 teams, was Ohio State being ahead of Georgia. And as we will soon discuss, that was clearly the right move. But looking at this current top 15 here, because I figured that's the way I'd do it. You look at the top 15, it's like, okay, here's your top 12, and here's your teams that are in the bubble. When you think about there being a fifth highest ranked conference champ, you kind of feel like, okay, maybe that can throw a monkey wrench in things, because you would have to consider them even if they're not ranked in the top 12 or top 15 or whatever else. But Boise State, who is the highest ranked group of five team right now, is the hypothetical team we would expect to see in the playoffs, at least based on what the committee's telling us currently. So for them to already be ranked as high as 13th, we can just look at the top 15 for who they are, because that fifth conference champ would logically be Boise State. You with me? All right, hopefully you'll get there if not already. So, top 15, from one downward, here we go. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana. I'm highlighting those two with my voice getting raspier because I don't like that. BYU is sixth. That's another question mark. Number seven, Tennessee. Number eight, Notre Dame. Number nine, Miami. Number 10, Alabama. That one's pivotal. Number 11, Ole Miss. Number 12, Georgia. Number 13, Boise State. Number 14, SMU. And number 15, Texas A&M. All right, so first issue that I highlighted there. I take it offensively when I hear that Indiana is behind Penn State. This would obviously tell anyone, and it tells me, that the Hoosiers' resume at 10-0 is being considered as less than Penn State's at 8-1. Why? And a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, Indiana hasn't beaten anybody. Do you want to sit here right now and tell me who Penn State has beaten? Penn State, you could replace their schedule with high schools, and I would not be any more impressed by the teams they've beaten. Isn't their best win? I could be misremembering, bear with me, but isn't their best win like over Illinois, who's not even ranked now, and you beat them by two scores? It wasn't some beatdown. I may be misremembering, but I know they struggled with Bowling Green. They struggled with USC, had a slow start against Wisconsin. This team has not impressed me remotely. So when you say Indiana hasn't beaten anybody, you have to say that for Penn State. Indiana's not only unbeaten, by the way. They're not only two wins above Penn State, by the way, but they have struggled visibly less week in, week out than Penn State has. Indiana just beat Michigan by like 5 points or something, and that is a struggle win. That does bother me a bit with how underperforming Michigan has been. But if I'm not mistaken, that is Indiana's first win this year. Of their 10, that is their first one that they've won by single digits. Indiana has played a weak schedule, but when you have a weak schedule, especially in conference play, I always say this: the least you can do is beat up your competition. If you're winning every game by a field goal, yeah, I'm not going to be impressed. But if you are beating up everybody, how am I supposed to hold your weak schedule against you? Clearly, you're better than it. Why would I hold that against you if it's something you can't control? You want to talk about out-of-conference games? Fine. But when people judge Indiana this late in the season, they're talking about their Big Ten slate. It's not my fault they haven't played anyone yet. That's not my fault. That's not Indiana's fault. All Indiana can do is beat up on everyone. And when I see you winning games big and Penn State not doing so, and I see you still having a perfect record and Penn State not, I think, until further notice, Indiana needs to get the nod. Penn State has struggled on multiple occasions, but Indiana is allowed no room for error, it seems. And they're still unbeaten. So they technically haven't even had error. I'm all for not committing to Indiana until they play Ohio State. They got Ohio State on the road. I think they got a bye week this weekend. Then they go to Ohio State. I am all for not going all in on the Hoosiers until they play that team. All for it. But we should nonetheless hold Penn State accountable for their home loss to Ohio State, especially when the Buckeyes are easily the toughest team they have faced so far. If Indiana loses close to the Buckeyes, just bear with me here. If they lose close to the Buckeyes in Columbus, and you have both of these teams as one-loss teams, Indiana better get in to the playoffs over Penn State if that's ever a problem, and Indiana better be a higher seed than Penn State come Selection Day. Otherwise, the Nittany Lions are riding solely on brand, solely, exclusively. Another thing I noticed, and I can't believe I'm saying this, what on earth is BYU doing so far above Alabama? I know we were just talking about differences in record here, but and I know the Crimson Tide, they got two losses, and BYU's unbeaten. But BYU being ranked higher isn't the issue. It's the fact that they are four spots higher. Four spots higher? Alabama just went into LSU and won 42-13. Alabama playing a significantly tougher schedule than BYU has better wins than BYU. Two wins over ranked SEC opposition, one of which is in the playoff hunt, Georgia. BYU hasn't beaten anybody that tough, and they just struggled with Utah. Oh, but Austin, that's a rivalry game. Yes, and I thought Utah would win it, but that wasn't just because it's a tough rivalry game and Utah's tougher than their record implies. It's because BYU, I don't think, is that great of a team. And Utah is now a losing team today. Mind you, BYU very controversially and very barely won that game by 1 point. But they are still four spots ahead of Alabama after Alabama goes into Death Valley and beats the brakes off of LSU. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. I mean, and when you consider the whole SEC bias thing as well, we always look at these criteria. Your strength of resume, strength of schedule, you know, who you've beaten, how you've beaten them, yada, yada, yada. We always weigh that. And then you got the SEC bias. You got the bias with the regionalism. And Alabama is still four spots below. I can't believe I'm saying that. But put some respect on Alabama. It seems like they're being kind of hushed down here. Either that or BYU needs to be hushed up, whatever the opposite would be. While we're on this topic, I'm also surprised that they kept Miami above Alabama. Did any of you catch that? 9-10. Miami is still above Alabama. Think about it this way. How little has Miami done? I'll give BYU credit where it's due. They have beaten two teams that are currently ranked. SMU's only loss is to BYU. K-State, they lost 38-9 to BYU. So I will give Brigham Young credit there. They got a couple of statement wins. Miami doesn't have one. What's Miami's best win? I'm genuinely trying to think. I think their best win right now is they beat Louisville. Louisville is currently ranked, though they are ranked lower. They beat Louisville 52-45. And they are no longer unbeaten, mind you. So they have done less than Alabama. They aren't even unbeaten anymore. When you have them that close to each other, I don't get why you don't just put Bama ahead of them. Because Miami, less of a resume than BYU, definitely less of a resume than Alabama. They now have a loss to an unranked Georgia Tech. So they can't even crutch the unbeaten thing anymore. And they are still above Bama? That tells me that if the playoff were to start today, Miami would get the nod over Bama in the seeding. I don't buy that for a moment. I'm sorry, maybe I'm still hung up on the whole SEC bias thing. I don't buy that for a second. That Miami, you believe after this weekend, that Miami is better than Bama, past the eyeball test, better than Bama, more deserving than Bama, whatever terminology you want to use. I refuse to believe that the committee thinks that way. I don't know what in the world Miami's doing above Alabama. Either after last season, the committee cleaned house and we've just got random no-names in there making these calls, or I'm missing something. I'm the one that's out of touch. Either way, I'll I'll move on from that before I pop a blood vessel. Georgia took quite a tumble after getting beat up by Ole Miss, falling from 3rd to 12th. Now, I highlighted this earlier because I wanted to see if you'd catch it. Boise State, remember what I said, they are hypothetically the 5th highest ranked conference champ. So they would get an automatic bid to the playoff. Well, they're 13th. In the bracket, they'd be 12th. So with Georgia being 12th and Boise State taking the 12th spot, you know what that tells you? That means that if the committee had the playoff bracket today, the Bulldogs would not be in. That's quite an unforgiving sight for a team that's beaten Texas by double digits on the road. And especially with how their season flipped upside down late last year. Heck, at this point, Georgia fans are probably thinking that they've got a target on their back. However, my simple rebuttal to that would be directing them to the pair of teams that are ranked directly above their beloved dogs. Any Georgia fans who are upset about this, just think about it this way. Alabama and Ole Miss. You are not behind those teams if you beat them. You've got two losses. One's to Bama, and you were down 28-0 early, and you lost by 18, I believe it was, three possessions to Ole Miss. And Ole Miss ain't a great team. I'm sure the narrative is soon going to become that they're great, but they're not. They're good, but they're flighty. You getting beat up by that team, your second loss, you're not behind them in the polls today if you don't lose to them. That should be self-explanatory. It's the same thing last year. You're in the playoff if you don't lose to Alabama. The committee is giving you no slack. They're holding you accountable because of the precedent you have recently set in recent years. You have no one to blame but yourself for where you're ranked right now. And in such a deep pool of contenders, you learned last year how little room for error there was. You were unbeaten. Looking like you were a lock. You lose by 3, neutral site to Alabama, you fall out of the top 4 because the contention was just that tight. Well, the contention's pretty tight right now. Like it or not, teams like BYU, Miami, they're still floating around. Boise State is still up there. Right? And as I said, they'd get in over you as a group of 5 champ. They'd get an automatic bid. You got Ole Miss. They haven't lost a 3rd game. You got Alabama. They haven't lost a 3rd game. Tennessee, you host them. You can bring them down to your level. You can kick them out. But you're running out of chances here. I'd say Tennessee, and we'll touch on this later because it's the biggest game of the weekend probably. But you're running out of chances to really stand out and prove, hey, we still deserve to be a contender. You've blown every chance you've had except for one against Texas. This is your LSU game, Georgia. I talked about Alabama redeeming themselves with LSU. This is your chance, Georgia. Make an example out of Tennessee. Remind the committee you belong. I think it's kind of funny, personally, because we always heard the old adage of, oh, anybody can beat anybody in the SEC. And that was a lie for several years. that was such a bald-faced lie that anyone can beat anyone here. No, you couldn't. That's why Alabama dominated for as long as they did. I think I've said that before. But now this year, anybody can beat anybody. The SEC is actually as deep and as tough as people claim. And all of a sudden, it's being weaponized against the SEC. All of a sudden, it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for these teams like Georgia. No, now you're being held accountable for it. And you're hanging by a thread. And now all of a sudden, that's a bit more harm than good. We're not really smiling about how tough the SEC is now, are we? But anywho, let's move on to Floridian representation. I have dwelled on the playoff poll for far too long. As mentioned earlier, it finally happened. Miami lost officially this time. It felt like they had lost several games by now, but it's official. They do have a 1 in their loss column. Georgia Tech is they're the Cane killers. I mean, I don't know how else you want me to put it. They knocked off the unbeaten Canes last year, did it again this year. Great game by Georgia Tech, but the takeaway here has to be what we have failed to what we have called for all along and what we have failed to actually see. Holding the Canes accountable for struggling with what is objectively unimpressive competition. I still don't think we have fully seen it because, as I said, you're still above Bama. That still surprises me. Miami's now on a bye, and after this sobering reality check, it's certainly necessary. Speaking of sobering, Florida got decimated by Texas. But with the game being on the road against what's supposed to be a title contender and Gators being down to their third string QB, that Aiden Warner kid, I always want to say Aiden Warren. I think it's Aiden Warner, though. With all those problems, what do you expect, right? We expected Florida to lose. I thought they would give a bit tighter of a fight. They were down 35-0 at half. They did tack on some points in the second half, though, so good for them. They now welcome LSU to the Swamp. And, hey, after the Tigers' most recent display, that may not be as easy of a game to call as some may assume. All right, LSU had a narrow spread in that game last I saw. And, oh, my goodness, Florida State. All right, so Florida State lost to Notre Dame. Far worse than I expected it would be. 37-13 was my prediction. 52-3. You know, I was talking to Jordan Glass. He does the Glass Half Full, and you can listen to that at from 9 a.m. 10 a.m. every weekday on ESPN Pensacola. Speaking of which, this podcast is brought to you by ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. And you can listen to us on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app, and you can find the College Tribe podcast with yours truly on the ESPN Pensacola local podcast page, ESPNPensacola.com. Anywho, got off on a tangent there, sorry. But no, I was talking to Jordan Glass on his show last Friday, and he said that he thought Notre Dame was going to make an example out of Florida State. Just pile it on, score over 50. He thought it was going to be over 50, and I thought that was a bit outlandish. But 52-3, I got to give him credit where it's due. It did feel like they may have tried to send a message here, Notre Dame, but I don't have the slightest clue as to why. But the Seminoles now have their last bye of the year before hosting Charleston Southern, and my goodness, here's to hoping we can see some momentum shift against the Buccaneers. You are going to be at home facing, I think, what is still a one-win Charleston Southern coming off a bye. Florida State, if for whatever reason you lose that, I just don't know what to tell you. Speaking of Florida State, let me squeeze this in here before we move on. Mike Norvell, he cleaned house. He got rid of both coordinators. He got rid of a wide receiver coach. He knows he's on the line. And that's why he is making these severe, sudden moves. He sees the people calling for his head in Tallahassee. And who knows? Maybe he's getting some heat behind closed doors. And I know it originally seemed outlandish. Oh, this guy, he just went 13-1. There's no way they're going to scrap him. Listen, the standard at Florida State is so high, especially after you teased them with last year. They want to win. They want to win now. It doesn't matter the transfer differential. There is no reason for Florida State to be struggling like this. It is pathetic. Florida State knows that. That's why I think Norvell is like, listen, there's no room for error here. I gotta start anew, and I got to try to slap something together so I can keep my job. I think he is in that mode. I don't care how big the buyout is. Norvell is feeling some heat. He has to be. Why else would he do that? So soon. Why wouldn't you just finish the season and try to regroup? Maybe you're trying to get a head start on some coordinator spots, some coordinator candidates. I don't know. But I think the pressure is now on. And who knows? Maybe you're trying to change it up right before Charleston Southern just so you can ensure that victory all the more. We'll see. Alrighty, UCF lost to Arizona State 35-31. This was upsetting. They established a double-digit lead on the Sun Devils in Tempe quite early in that game. The Knights now have to win out to make the postseason, so their upcoming bye week will hopefully prep them for that. USF was a huge disappointment against Navy. They fell to the Midshipmen 28-7. Bulls are now 4-5, but they got a road trip to Charlotte that kicks off a three-game stretch against opponents that all have worse records than the Bulls today. So I will continue to cover the Bulls out of sheer hope, I guess. And then we got UWF struggling a bit with North Greenville. I had UWF struggling a bit with North Greenville. But because everything about the game seemed like a trap. Right before traveling to Valdosta State, North Greenville, they had given Valdosta State a scare. One of their losses was to Citadel. They were kind of a hit or miss team with their wins losses. I thought this was a trap game. Boy, was I wrong. They rolled to a promising 35-14 victory. Argos keep their win streak alive with not even a flinch. Now they go to, as I said, Valdosta State. Valdosta, 9-0, top ranked. There's so much on the line there in the conference and beyond. That's huge. Alrighty, so here's some predictions for you. Not much going on thanks to aforementioned buys, lack of ranked unranked action, but we still have some pivotal conference games and upset alerts. I do have UWF beating Valdosta State 32-30. I will start with that. I've got UWF going on the road and beating Valdosta 32-30, not really high scoring, but high tempo, high pressure. As I said, a lot on the line here. Valdosta State can certainly win. That's why I've got it being such a tight score, but I'm not sold on them. UWF looks so battle-tested. They are riding so high right now. I will say this, because I said it earlier this week. If Valdosta State wins, UWF fans and alum, such as myself, can the alumni and fans alike can rest comfortably knowing that you were just meant to lose this game. There's going to be no what-ifs about it. There's going to be no, we're getting jobbed, or no, we weren't ready for this or that, or what if we had blah, blah, blah. This Argos team is as ready as they're going to be. If Valdosta State wins, they were just a better team. No nonsense here. Just one team facing another. The better team will prevail. I honestly think it's going to be that kind of game in spite of the tight margin. Also have Florida and LSU. I think LSU is still rattled after the Bama game. I don't think they're going to be letting off steam. I think this is going to be just a game where they're trying to coast, trying to regroup, just get a win and keep moving forward. They struggle a bit in the swamp. Rivalry implications here, but they do win 27-17, pull away by two possessions. And then I got South Florida beating Charlotte 31-16. Not a huge gap in their records and quality of performance. I just know Charlotte just has not impressed me at all. At least USF has shown some promise in some of their games. Charlotte really hasn't. I'll take USF. I guess by their standard, it would be a statement win on the road over the 49ers. Alrighty, going to get into some of the more nationally relevant games here, because as I said, it's not a lot of ranked on ranked action, but there are still some relevant games, especially so late in the season when we're looking at conference implications here. Want to give you one last reminder. You're listening to the College Try podcast on ESPN Pensacola's local podcast page. You can find that on ESPNPensacola.com, and you can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, and on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Alrighty here, number 20, Clemson, and now unranked Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh just got kicked while they were down. They had lost that game to SMU horrendously, and they just now lost to Virginia. I think that game was at home as well. So the committee has completely given up on Pittsburgh, rightfully so. Their resume was weak anyway. Clemson, number 20, they had to pull away from Vatek. They're going on the road here. This game's huge. I think it's tight. At times, Clemson may start to pull away early in the second half. Pitt tries to tack on a thing or two, but it's too little too late. I got Clemson winning 31-17. Kansas State hosting Arizona State. This, once again, is a ranked versus an unranked, but it's a pivotal conference game. Both of these teams are 7-2. I've got this being high scoring, relatively, Big 12 fashion. I do have K-State prevailing, though, especially being in Manhattan. I got them beating Arizona State 38-30. Then I got number 12, Georgia, and number 7, Tennessee. Georgia's on the line. As I said, if you lose this game, I think the committee's making it clear you will not be in the playoff hunt. I think I'm perhaps giving Georgia too much credit here after last week's display, but this is just such a perfect bounce-back opportunity for them in Athens. The committee, as I said, they're looking at that. They're looking at their rankings. They're seeing, oh my goodness, this is make or break. We are back home. We've got to regroup. We've got to send a message, and I think they do that because they're still a championship-built team. Give me the Bulldogs 30 to 20. That's what I'll say. I think that's fair. Not some blowout, but I do think physically, especially over the course of the game, they will stand out as the better team. And they'll, as I said, they'll just kind of hit you with that, hey, we're still in this thing. They'll kind of hit you with the Missouri rant that Eli Drinkwitz gave you. You know, we're still in it. It's like, except unlike Missouri, Georgia actually is still in it. Alrighty, some upset alerts. Just a few here for you. Number 3, Texas at Arkansas. The problem with Arkansas is I don't know who I'm going to get every week. Fayetteville's a tough place to play. It's a rivalry game from the Southwest days. Arkansas hates Texas. It's on the road. Arkansas is a winning team. And Texas, I think, maybe kind of getting some false hope. Beating up on Florida the way they did, I think they're thinking, yeah, baby. We had a couple struggle games there, but we're back. And I just don't buy it. As I said, you were at home beating up on an already struggling Florida team, whittled down to their third string QB. I'm not sold on that. I think Arkansas maybe tries to trip up Texas here, but I do think Texas wins. I think it's just a trip up for a moment. Texas has to catch their breath before locking in. Number 13, Boise State at San Jose State. I hate to say it, but the Broncos are really, I'm losing faith in them. They just struggled against a terrible Nevada at home. Now they have to go to a 6-3 Spartans team. Do the math, man. Boise State can't afford to struggle like that. They had to pull away from Nevada, barely. You're going on the road now to a bowl-eligible Spartans team that has been better than you would think. They have been better these past few years than people are giving them credit for. Not some great team, but they've been good. They've been one of those depth teams swirling around the middle of the pack in the Mountain West. That is an upset game and a half. And then I can't believe I'm saying this one. Number one, Oregon, goes to Wisconsin. Yes, I've got the top team on upset alert. The Ducks beat Maryland by 3 touchdowns. I give them credit for that, but they were only up by 2 scores at the 5-minute mark at home. I do not love that. I do not love the sound of that. You got to give me more at home if you're the top-ranked team against Maryland. But now you head into Madison to face a Wisconsin team that's gunning for the postseason. If they win, they're in a bowl. That Wisconsin has a lot of implications on this game. They want to play spoiler because that's all they can do now outside of making a bowl. They're at home. It's a tough place. Look out, Oregon. I think you'll win, but I do not love the sights on that. You've been listening to the College Try podcast every Wednesday currently. Right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find us on the local podcast page on ESPNPensacola.com. And you can also listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. We'll see you next week. Take care. Good night.